Alleluia, Christ is risen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the water and the blood testify that God gave us eternal life in his risen Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the disciples did not believe that testimony. For 3 years they heard Jesus preach, they walked with him. He told them that he would redeem the world by his suffering, death, and resurrection. They saw the blood mingled with the water, but they did not believe the testimony. Then they heard the women's report. They had seen angels. Mary Magdalene had clasped Jesus' feet. The other women had seen Jesus on the way to the disciples, but they still did not believe. So they locked themselves in a room out of fear. Then the risen Lord entered that locked room to fill them with joy. Peace be with you. The Spirit once again testified that Christ is the eternal Son who bears the sins of the world. They felt God's breath as he bestowed on them his Spirit. They saw his hands and his side. Water and blood once again testified that salvation is accomplished, for the marks are still there. He lives, and he stands in their physical presence to give them life and salvation, to commission them as his apostles, eyewitnesses of his resurrection. But Thomas doesn't believe. He called God a liar, forgiveness a dream, redemption a fantasy. For if Christ is not raised, then none of these things is true. He denied the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Yet how gentle Christ is. He does not come to his doubting disciple with a spear, a sword, a gun, or fire. But he comes with his Spirit, with his open hand, and with his open side to forgive his doubting disciple. My Lord and my God, Thomas cried. Jesus replied, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is you. For the Spirit, the water, and the blood continue to testify to you. The scriptures are the testimony of these disciples, but they are not simply the writings of men. They are also the writings of the Spirit about the Son. Historical men wrote them. They wrote down what they saw, but the Spirit filled their words with life and power. He guided them. He molded their thoughts and shaped their words. He even gave them the very syllables, sentence structures they were to write. Jesus breathed on his disciples the Holy Spirit, so that they in turn might breathe that same Spirit on God's people through their preaching. The office of the Holy Spirit is seen outwardly and visibly in the Christian church. Physical, concrete men stand in pulpits proclaiming God's word to a dying world. We preach Christ crucified, for the salvation is found in no one else. Jesus is the name given to us by which we must be saved. He died to remove our sins and was raised for our justification. Though preached by men, these are the life-giving words of God. For when the word is preached, there the Spirit is at work, testifying that Christ is risen and you have eternal life in him. Yes, you see a man. Yes, he wrote a sermon. But blessed are those who believe that this is the power of God for their salvation. I cannot convince you of this, but the Spirit testifies to you. He has bound himself to his word and promises to always work through that word. So Christ instituted the office of the Holy Ministry on Easter by breathing the Spirit on his apostles, because through their preaching and forgiving, the Spirit preaches and forgives. The office of the Holy Ministry is inextricably tied to the working of the Holy Spirit. A physical man is physically present. So the Spirit continues to testify to you that Jesus lives for you. Like Thomas, many doubt it. They reject the testimony of the Spirit because they hear only men and they hear only human voices. But whoever does not believe their testimony has not called pastors or apostles liars, but he has called God a liar. He then begins to make his own way to heaven. Sadly, many Christians fall into this as well by tweaking, changing, altering God's word ever so slightly. But what they are doing is changing the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Yet the Spirit continues to testify. He continues to preach through the office of the holy ministry so that you may believe and be saved. The water and the blood also testify to the eternal life God has won for you. The holy, spotless Lamb has laid down his life for us fallen creatures. His death had to be a bloody death, for Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So his back was ripped open. His head was punctured. His hands pierced. His side impaled. Blood covered him, stained his cross, and saturated the ground. But by his blood, atonement is made, forgiveness is won, life is given, an eternal, unending life in God's heaven, for that blood mingled with water. John the Baptist came only with water, for his baptism is a baptism of repentance. But Christ's baptism is of grace and forgiveness. It is the sprinkling of his blood that cleanses us from every sin. Unlike other washings, this water has been beautifully dyed with the crimson blood of our dear Lord. The death of Christ gives baptism its power. You have bathed in the rosy red blood which flowed from his side for the life of the world. This is not a physical cleansing, but it is a washing established by his death. It cleanses the heart and purifies the soul and removes every sin from the body. To be baptized into Christ is really to be washed in the blood of Christ. So these blessed baptismal waters testify that Christ shed his blood for the world and now lives to give you life. They are a sign of the life and salvation God has given to you, but this is not a sign like a wedding ring is a sign of marriage. Wearing a ring does not make you married. But baptism actually does convey the Son of God to you. Through this external concrete thing, the risen Lord presents himself to you. My Lord and my God, you exclaim, as you touch the nail marks and put your hand into his side. Again, like the office of the ministry, we see nothing spectacular or extraordinary, but faith believes that the Savior has entered our time and space to place his pierced hands on us, to wash our decaying flesh, and then in the supper, to feed us his risen body. So the word and the sacraments testify that Christ is risen and we have eternal life in his name. We must stick to these signs. For when we forget them, we search for some other way to be made holy before God. We make up signs where we claim to find God, but he is not there, for he comes only in the water, the Spirit, and the blood. Oh, to be sure, he is present everywhere, but he is not present everywhere to give you his forgiveness. He is not present everywhere to bestow his Holy Spirit on you. He is not present everywhere to wash you in his blood, or to feed you his very body. God has not promised to meet us in the imaginations of our hearts. He is an external God with a physical, real, and risen body who touches the heart externally. Do not turn him into a spirit, because you cannot figure out how he sacramentally comes to you. Do not cover up the breath that he breathes on you. Do not hide his face. For by the Spirit, the water, and the blood, he continues to testify that he is risen and you are saved. So believe the three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, or as we're accustomed to say, the word and the sacraments. For these three testify of the salvation God has won for you. and how that risen Lord gives you his salvation. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.